Hey everybody, you may have heard we have a new album coming out called With or Without It. And we want to let you know it comes out on March 10th. That's right, the 10th of March. But you can pre-order it right now. Check the description of this very podcast and find that. Check our social media. But, you know, the time is now, you guys. We need your help. We want this album to be a big success so we can skyrocket to stardom and make our mothers proud and be everything we've ever wanted to be. So yeah, March 10th, you guys. You're gonna love it. Also, March 26th in Chicago. Big deal. Big happenings. Album release show at Bourbon on Division with special guests, Tiny Chain Gang. It's a Thursday night. You got plenty of time to request off work on Friday, so no fucking excuses. Let's make this thing happen. It's 18 and up, only 10 bucks. You can get tickets right now at spookylanguage.com/tour. And we hope to see your beautiful faces there. Smooches.
DPS Report!
Talk shit, bitch, I do it. They say all facts, but don't prove shit. Woo! You in my way, need to move, bitch. Shut the fuck up, no excuses. This a win-win, swear I'm so choosy. Money spread on me like boozy. Real ones ride for me, no cruise.
Did you hear? He fricked her. Hello and welcome, everybody, to the TPS Reports podcast.
Real ones ride for me.
Like lasagna?
No cruise ship, baby.
I had my Lil Wayne lines mixed up.
What a stretch of a line.
One more time?
Real ones ride for me, no cruise ship.
I mean, as much as...
Of all the things you could say about a cruise ship.
Yeah, we have...
It does ride, I guess. Or does it float?
I guess float would be
it's got
more...
an engine.
It works. You ride it. You can ride a bike.
Bullshit.
You can drive a boat.
New Lil Wayne.
I mean,
wait, this is... We're pre-recording this, so it's old Lil Wayne?
You're listening in the future.
The future.
No, the newest Lil Wayne, which I... You mentioned it.
I imagine you're probably listening to this episode in your flying car on your way home from your intergalactic meeting.
You mentioned it a week or two ago talking about what was missing from that clip Drew played, and you're like, it just needs the lighter smoke like
yes.
Lil Wayne.
Yes.
I did not know you were talking about a new album. And
I wasn't. I was talking about Carter 5.
Oh, okay.
Every song on the Carter 5.
It was like every song on... I guess it's every song on every Lil Wayne
this
album.
This is how every Lil Wayne song starts now.
Ooh, this got me lifted. Funeral, the new Lil Wayne album.
Funeral.
I listened to it, and then I found out that you listened to like half of it.
I got to the I Don't Sleep song with Takeoff. I was listening to it yesterday while it worked out.
I gotta say, like, it's not... There's good songs. There's some really fucking good songs on this album, but there's also like... 24 or 25. You have a whole other like project's length after that song.
I'm impressed that like the Carter 5 just came out not long ago.
We did this a year ago when we were talking about like Lupe and Wayne's album. Yeah, Carter 5 and new releases that week. Forever ago.
It was no way. It was a whole year.
Sure. Why wouldn't it be a year?
When Carter 5 came out, I feel it was like a couple months ago, wasn't it?
Whatever Wayne's last album was not a couple of months ago.
Hmm.
That was, we lived in the old house together.
What?
We did the podcast sitting in that living room about it.
Are you sure? I thought I listened to it in my car on the way down.
I don't know, but
looking it up. September 28th, 2018.
Exactly. We lived together. It's two fucking
years ago.
That's what I'm saying. You said a couple of months.
Man, I'm a doofus.
That's why it makes sense that he has a new album out now. I was like,
it does.
I thought you were talking about his
retract,
new album.
I retract my statement about being impressed at how quickly he whipped up a new album.
But there's so many songs on it. It could have been two albums. He could have had an album last
definitely
year.
Could've.
Because this shit is like, that's one of my only critiques of it is why an hour 20 minutes.
The point I listened up to is easily an album. It's longer
and
than
I know I'm
albums.
Not alone in the like attention span of modern day. You're like, it's a long album. there used to be 3 6 Mafia albums with fucking 28 songs on them and shit, but like, I don't know, the times have changed, and I'm by the time you get to the end of the Wayne album, there's like a silly Wayne's World song. I'm like, you could have not had some of these.
True.
And really tightened it up, like trimmed the fat off of it. But dude, there was like a Mamma Mia, the track 3. Did you hear that one?
I did.
Shit was fucking awesome.
He's very like, I feel like you can almost like, it's something that I'm going to compliment him for is almost like something that we didn't like that Eminem does. I feel like new Lil Wayne just keeps, he just fucking wants to destroy every rhyme scheme until it's, there is nothing else you can do. So it's just fucking,
and then he flips it in that direction. And I've talked about like,
shut up, take a breath.
You can wear out, like, sometimes I write similarly, and that's kind of why I like it when somebody takes and they do a whole 16 on the same scheme, you know? I like doing that, but I also had it sort of feel like a crutch sometimes where I wouldn't like diversify. And now I like approach different verses differently, but I still always love like when you milk like all the juice out of the fucking squeeze.
That's
you know?
Like why.
And he's one of the best at it.
Primarily, I said a week or two ago how one of my weaknesses, it's never been a strength of mine, is like storytelling, songwriting,
right?
At least with hip hop music,
narrative.
And I feel like one of the reasons for that is like the incessant like need to fucking every single thing that can be rhymed with this, we got to keep going, to where it's like you totally strayed from the point you were making with the first four bars to now you're just like in La La Land because you're still trying to rhyme the fucking thing.
And yeah, that's what like.
And when you make a list of like 40 things that rhyme, you know, 20 of them are going to not have anything to do with the other 20. And that's like part of the struggle of writing raps is like, how
I've
do
had
I make
to leave some of my favorite lines in a scheme on the floor. Like I just, they didn't even make the cut because it just like, it was too random or like I couldn't make the connection to whatever the reference is. Even if like Eminem saying like, you know, I'm not a hot dog. Like he's trying to make a, like you got to have something. And sometimes there's nothing and you're just saying bonkers shit, which can sound good. And sometimes it just sounds like, well, this is just, you know, a little past the line of rhyme for the sake of rhyme. Mm-hmm. Just like, well, what are you talking about? So you got to keep it somewhere in reality or try to.
It's like, you gotta find a way to connect the dots. That's kind of how we would, I feel like we started rapping was, think of a thing you want to rhyme. Think of like a list of 10 rhymes and then kind of connect the dots and write sentences around them.
Filler, and then sometimes the filler rhymes with the punchline and the internal shit, whatever. It gets technical, but that's when people ask us that question that becomes harder to answer of like, what's the most, you know, your dopest song? What's your favorite song to perform and stuff like that? It's always for different reasons. And like, you know, category A is the complexity of the rhyme, like, you know, these, the syllabic whatever, like lyrically, and then sometimes it's because like that's real to me, like it wasn't so lyrically focused, but it was like a real ass song that was, you know, like So Long or The Plot Thickens or something that's like you know, it has like a substance, you know. That's why I think that one's dope, even though my rhymes on Picturesque or something are way doper, admittedly. So it's hard to pick. And when we're talking about, I mean, I guess Wayne does narrative stuff too, but when he's killing those schemes like he did on the Mamma Mia song, I was like neck breaking, you know? Like,
it's not, like I said, it's kind of similar to the Eminem thing of like, he never takes a breath or whatever. It's different though. And I feel like his style, he stylizes it much better. It's not as frantic and all over the place.
This is
so he'll do that for 2 minutes straight. Vaginas I'm douching.
And then the beat comes back hard. Reverses it. Oops, he does the classic oops, I mean, and then he kills it in reverse. Man, I really did a 180 on Lil Wayne.
Like, on his oops, I mean. That used to be one of our least favorite things
general,
about Lil
this
Wayne.
Song is hard as fuck, dude. He's still doing the scheme.
Right.
Masseuses massage me. I
was kind of confused on what he said there.
I'm turning your noodle to nada.
Nada.
Like, I'm going to blow your fucking brains out.
After he said it, I was thinking about, like, did he say I'm going to turn your noodle to pasta?
Yeah, fucking spaghetti sauce all over the wall.
Splam!
Kaplah!
Yeah,
but like, dude, it's like, and track three of Carter Five, I remember that was the song I referenced because it was the Dedicate one,
the rock.
And he murdered that scheme. Like, he did a whole three verses of, like, you know, all lyrically substance as fuck. And like, I just, we always said, we started rapping out of sort of a hatred towards Lil Wayne and similar rappers.
But an admittedly immature,
absolutely
irrational hatred.
Absolutely.
And a like more of like an internet term hater than actual hatred. Like, I want the guy dead or something.
Yeah, and it was sort of that we were haters.
Contrarian
shit, too, that you kind of like need to balance. Especially the more this dude puts out songs that slap. It's like this, everybody in school, like when we were like fucking 17, listened to Lil Wayne and he was the best. And to us, he wasn't the best. So
he was the whole
whether he was or not, we were just like, no, the populace can't be right.
He was the whole football team's favorite rapper, and it didn't sit well with us.
Yeah, we go against the grain, man. We're in the chaos punks.
Losers.
But that's how we were spawned from, like as hip hop fans. We were the heads and the nerds. And then you realize some of the heads
I'd rather listen to Talib Kweli because I'm conscious.
They were just kind of like, you take it too far, and we've done it. We still do it on other shit sometimes, but like, it's just the contrarian nature, and to ignore shit like the snippet we just played. And there's a bunch of like lyrically complex shit on this album and on all Lil Wayne albums. And I was ignorant to that for a long time. We just say he sucks, and now it's like, look, there's plenty of songs on this album too that I don't like, but a lot I do. And
even
like,
in high school, I always liked
the
that
ratio's
one song,
good.
Every time I do it, I do my thing.
Go
do
DJ.
My thing.
That's my
do
DJ.
My thing.
Go DJ.
My homie Aaron
Remix.
And I used to go to lunch all the time, and Aaron used to play Carter 2 like every day.
And you hated
and he
it,
knew
probably,
it.
Right?
He knew it bothered me, so he would like turn it up and like, check this song out. Cruising in his Subaru. good times. Yeah, I've totally come around, and I actually, we were talking a minute ago about this, and I was looking around. We were talking about, I don't know why, but Talib Kweli and Lil Wayne and the contrasts. I've said multiple times that Talib Kweli is one of my biggest influences.
That was going to be your album recommendation.
I do have
this
an
week.
Album. I know I forgot last week.
Yeah.
Right. And I was going to recommend a Talib album. And we started saying, like, you know, we can go from the Lil Wayne review to the Talib thing. I was like, how? They're so different.
Yeah.
And then we were wondering, do they have a song together or anything? So I looked that up. And it's
you would kind of assume
Mac
they
Maines.
Would, but they're just featured on some one
they're,
of
them. They're both featured on a Mac Main song, and that's it. But I also what I also found was this video that I thought was really dope. It's from 2011 from a Talib Kweli concert. He doesn't say it in the video, but the caption and the title leads you to believe that someone in the crowd had a shirt that says Lil Wayne sucks.
I went down to the cabin, and Lil Wayne came up to me when he was like 16 years old when that Drop It Like It's Hot was out. Lil Wayne came up to me before he had fucking dreads. Came up to me and said, Talib Kweli, I love what you and Mos Def are doing. Black Star's my shit, nigga. And I say that because I need to explain something. There's a lot of division and a lot of a lack of unity in hip-hop. You understand what I'm saying? And I want to explain something. The similarities between myself and artists like Lil Wayne far outweigh the differences. I'm going to say that again. The similarities between myself, a young black man who grew up listening to hip-hop, and Lil Wayne. I grew up in Brooklyn. Lil Wayne grew up in New Orleans. My parents are professors. Lil Wayne's parents sold drugs. You understand what I'm saying? There's a difference in the way we rap.
The difference
in the way we rap is based on our region and our emotional experience. Before you judge anybody and their creative output, realize that it's coming from where they're from and their emotional experience. So if you don't like it, don't fucking listen to it. You know what I'm saying? Now listen.
Amen.
I don't care what nobody say, that nigga study hip hop. If he did it, he wouldn't have Kanye West on his album. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't have signed Corey Guns. He wouldn't have came up to me.
Yeah, and 12 and 15 years ago, I would tout, you know, I would sing praises of Talib Kweli because I was inspired. I love him too.
Right.
And I would say Lil Wayne sucks.
I would do exactly what
I'm who he was talking
to. Exactly.
You know, like 15 years ago.
If you never said a line as dope as real G's moving solid like lasagna, shut the fuck up. Now Now, with that said, niggas ain't fucking with me and my crew. You know what I'm saying? So let's go, Hunter. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, that's that. I was the guy who I didn't.
I love that.
I would have worn the shirt that said "Fuck Lil Wayne" and thought I was a edgy badass
and
when I was 18.
And I would have needed to hear a sentiment like that.
And if I would have heard it when I was 18, it would have been like, "Well, fuck him, no, I don't like him," because I was a fucking idiot piece of shit. But like, when you look,
piece of shit,
you can't like deny. Even over time, I respect when Eminem puts out so much more content, and then there's even songs I do enjoy in those. And I talked about the ratio, and I thought it was off. Like, it was just goofy.
Just because I goof on a guy's mustache or his Cookie Monster delivery or something, like, doesn't mean I don't respect. I never ever said, you know, going back to us shitting on Eminem a couple weeks ago,
it's a long time
that
ago.
I don't respect the dude's position and place in hip hop, and that he didn't earn it.
Right.
Never said that.
But then I also can be honest about what sounds fucking hot when
it's all subjective.
My ears. The production on this new Lil Wayne album too. Some of the shit is like
it's noise.
I was
there's just noise when you play that Wayne's World shit.
Well, that's terrible.
It's just what is this? Where is the structure?
And
I'm
there's
just
something
hearing noise here, and on top of it, Wayne's World, Wayne's World.
It's a little too white for me, even, which is saying a lot. And they get all the white guys in the booth to do the
Wayne's World. Wayne's World.
That's not Wayne and his homies doing that part.
Wait, you don't think they just sampled the movie?
I don't think so. Anyways, silly. And that's the last song on the album. And it's like, you could have gone out on a different note than Wayne's World. It's party time, excellent. I party hard. It's like, all right, it's college music. It's frat party music. But there's,
I'd rather
if you chop
to
through
the
those weeds,
Wayne's World song,
dude. There's so much.
And if you don't like it, you're a sphincter boy.
Super hard.
How could I not mention the clear favorite song of the album for the Palmer Squares? Bing James.
Bing James.
Bing.
Let's go.
It's got Bing in it. I don't know. You might not know this. And it could just be only us. I don't know what the meaning of this song is.
Let's take it back. Let's figure out. We talked about this.
To the Palmer
Squares,
the word "bing" means butt.
Like for at least 10 years to say like, yeah, no, suck my bingus or something.
Christmas in my bingus means Christmas in my ass.
Yeah, it goes back. We had. Oh my god, I already forgot that we had it in a title of something.
Stick your fingus in my bingus.
Yeah. Tongue kiss my bungus. We used to say just all this dumb. We still do.
It's derived from bung, and then from bung you get bing.
We got bing.
There was a guy a few years ago in Illinois running for Senate or something.
Yep.
Daniel Biss.
Somehow we got from bing to biss, dude. Biss means butt to us, because it was like like dude's butts, and then saying like, you said something about a dude's butt, and then like
a dubis.
Dubuts.
Dubis.
Dubis. And then dubis. It was just biss. We were just down to biss. We stripped it. But this is hard as fuck, and it's called Bing James.
Spraying lobster bisque out my bis.
I don't know. A lot of this album goes hard.
I don't know
hard.
What to them Bing is, though.
Yeah, like listen to the hook. They're saying it.
Bing rhymes. Yeah, I'm gonna look it up.
Bling James.
The only result I got from Urban Dictionary was the search engine Bing. An alternative to Google.
And like I said, plain join. Plain join. Yeah, we're easy, you know.
Right, it's a search engine.
Bing, frick, put this vernacular on your project. You don't have to try too hard to twist our arm, you know. We're in. We're in. But yeah, a lot of like poppy, you know, like the Wayne's World shit and the Disney.
I gotta sit down.
Like to me, I guess to me, I wonder why it's not two albums, and he could have milked it a little further and had one be more slaps and one be a little more, you know, off the beaten path, less rap, because there's a lot of that stuff too. I'm just kind of playing my favorites.
I'm not finding anything on the internet.
See,
to
we pioneered
to me
it.
What Bing means here.
We're at the top of the Bing food chain, dude. Like, nobody gets it like us. But now that I get the, you know, Lil Wayne is hip to something here. Maybe it's one of those, like, Blood and Crip things. Like, instead of King with a K, or if it were a C, you know, like, You know, Cardi B does it, and so, all the Bloods, and they put B's where C's are, even though in this case it would be
it's a K.
I'm talking through it, man. I'm just thinking out loud.
And then he says, Bing Rames.
So he's changing everything that's
Ving.
Oh,
yeah,
Ving,
you know what? The lyrics on the internet, the lyrics to say he says Ving. Who knows? Yeah. I'm going to keep it the way I like to
I'm
going to
keep it 100, 100.
So, yeah, we can go from this to my recommendation, I guess, because we brought up Dylan Gwally.
Yeah, we're good. We're good on that. If you want, if you're looking for a way to spend an hour and a half, Lil Wayne has a new project.
Here we go.
Yeah.
This week, I know I forgot last week. I apologize. This week, Term's album recommendation. I chose a rap album, as to not set any precedent that this has to be any sort of one specific genre.
Good
rock.
Although
country,
I imagine
whatever.
If you persist with the bit, it will mostly be not rap.
Mostly. But yeah, this week I chose Talib Kweli's Eardrum from 2008. It was a very influential album to me. I think, for my money, it's one of the greatest hip-hop albums of all time.
Yeah, I think that's Kweli's best album, and I put it up there, too. This was also like when we were in our prime of being influenced, by
true
good hip-hop and what we thought was bad hip-hop, Lil Wayne. And then, Eardrum came out when, I guess, you were graduating high school, because
yes.
I'm a couple years older.
Yes.
So, yeah, I remember that album coming out and being so, front to back, There weren't bad songs on it. But I also haven't listened to it.
It's got hella good production. You got Madlib, Just Blaze, Will.i.am, Pete Rock, Kanye, all producing on it. It's got some really good features. At the time when it came out, I used to hate Kanye's contribution to In the Mood, where he's like,
I like it.
This chick got a silicone booty. Yeah. But now I love that verse. In the Mood, great song. Soon a New Day, Norah Jones. Plus, In the Mood's got a fucking Roy Ayers xylophone solo in it.
Right.
It's a good fucking album. It's got this is the album that started turning around my opinion on Justin Timberlake.
Yep. I actually would have never known Roy Ayers was. That makes so much sense looking back.
Oh, yeah. And he even got him going, do, 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 do. Oh, it's yeah. A good song.
Good feature,
Give
casting.
Him Hell. Give Him Hell is a dope ass song that's all about religion, which you can find footage of Talib doing on Def Poetry Jam years before.
Yeah.
Stay Around was always my favorite track on the
won't
album.
Won't you stay around with me?
That's produced by Pete Rock. And then the album ends with a song called The Nature, which is like a full, like a live band production.
Yeah.
And then Justin Timberlake sings the hook. And that was like what started my, got me out of my, when we grew up as children and we listened to like punk and fucking metal and stuff and NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
I listened to Damn It, Dude Ranch, Blink 182, and all that other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Da-na-na-na-na. Yeah.
But that we grew up in like an era of like.
We weren't listening to rap.
As young dudes, not even rap, but as young dudes, like you had to, for your dude card. You had to hate on NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and shit.
Right.
Those dudes weren't cool.
Mm-mm.
And there was this, and then somehow Justin Timberlake made this fucking transition to like, hey, this guy's cool.
I remember I was
he
checking
dance
out
good.
His album, the 2020 experience thing when we lived at the old house.
Push your love.
And you like I remember you waking up, like I was in the living room listening to it, one or two songs in, right. And you like came upstairs. And being like, Justin Timberlake?
This guy's listening to Justin Timberlake.
Got a little insecure.
Who are you?
And then I did the like, yeah, I heard this. I saw reviews saying like it's really good from people that I would have normally not expected
dude,
to say
talking
that.
About Blue Dream.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My silicone. Wait. No, that's
silicone booty.
But I was listening to that, and you walk upstairs like, Timberlake? And I was like, not gay. Not gay. Don't worry. But like
super not gay.
A song in you, we were both like having a coffee in the living room. Like, damn, this is good.
I liked it. Bought the album for my mom because I thought she'd like it. Mm-hmm. She never listened to it.
What? Did you get her part two? The lesser of the haves.
I did not. I learned my lesson.
The 20 to the 20s 20.
So, terms suggestion of the week. Talib Kweli's eardrum. Give it a spin.
You know who I'm turning
a corner
on?
I don't care what you think.
And it's not because of the sound. Huh. But I saw Justin Bieber on Saturday Night Live last week, and he looks like he's got like pedophile mustache.
Yeah,
and like he looks like a
mess. Jacking my swag is what he's doing.
So you're not see,
shopping at thrift stores and growing a mustache. Ooh, where'd you get that from, Justin?
Dude, my girlfriend was slamming him, like making. She's like, he's wearing Lee pipes with the hammer.
As long
hook.
As he's not slamming your girlfriend, you know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Yeah, but I saw him on.
He was
some,
wearing
like,
Lee pipes. Like.
I saw him on some TRL like show where Sway is asking him about this new music, and he was all, he was just giving that fucking douchey. Well, I wanted to make a record with a purpose that speaks for the marginalized, and basically acting like everything else in the world isn't right now to be like speaking for the marginalized,
right?
People that don't have a voice. It's like they don't need fucking Justin Bieber. Pretty much every outlet is for the marginalized now.
I mean, what's the
he's acting like he's doing something like fucking groundbreaking.
I just like his new look is
fuck
all.
You.
I could picture, maybe it's because I'm friends with you, but we're like, people were looking like, oh, he looks scummy now. I'm like, I want to kind of be his friend now.
He's been trying to grow a mustache for a long time.
Yeah, and like, welcome to the club,
and
man.
It's, and it's finally kind of coming in.
He's looking like, you know, an adult male, and I'll hang out with that guy. Mm. He'd be lucky to have me as a friend.
I think he still looks like a douche.
I don't know. I like him more than ever. Maybe I'll be his biggest fan.
In addition to listening to Lil Wayne's album, we watched Honey Boy the other day. How'd you like Honey Boy?
I thought Shia LaBeouf directed it too.
No.
But like I know that now.
I knew he only wrote it and that it was directed by, I believe, like a European dude or something.
Yeah, it was all right. But I guess I had this Ost written by, directed by, and starring, yeah. And then obviously,
yeah.
Not that he didn't do a good job.
I thought he did a good job.
He did a good job.
For those who aren't like super familiar, Honey Boy is a movie from this past year, written by Shia LaBeouf, co-starring Shia LaBeouf as. So it's not directly explained in the movie that it is him. But it's based on his childhood, right. And he plays
it's not a like character his life story, but it's
they changed the names. He plays a character though that's based on his father,
right? And the kids in the movie are supposed
and the
to
kid
be
is
him.
Supposed to be him, but they changed the name to the kid's name is Otis,
right?
I think that was a really good I don't know whose idea it was, but it was a good idea. I think it helped the film, and it would have been really weird because he plays his dad. There would have been scenes then where Shia LaBeouf is addressing a kid as shy, and that would have just taken people out of it and been like,
yep.
What the fuck's going on here?
And it gives you a little more wiggle room with like things that didn't exactly happen that way and just sticking to
right.
the loose baseline that this is basically what I went through. This was my story, but not to a T, right? It's not even my name.
Right.
So you're going into it thinking like, is this going to be some pat on the back? Like, look at all I did in
right.
Hollywood. But it wasn't. It was a little like
a little
excusey.
Right. It's not. It could either be fucking jerking myself off, or for a guy who's kind of had a lot of incidents and he's been and arrests and has been pretty scrutinized by the public. This could be a thing where he's making excuses for his past.
It has the air like the vibe of that, but it's
look,
also
I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, and I don't know. What his dad treated him like and how that shaped him.
Well, what do you know about Shia LaBeouf other than like
he was on Even Stevens.
He was Transformers kid wearing the Stroke shirt.
Never
running
saw
from robots.
A Transformers movie.
Really?
But I knew that.
I fell asleep in the theater drinking Heinekens with Jeremy and Taylor, I think, in high school.
I liked Even Stevens when I was a little kid. I remember like discovering it in a hotel room.
You know what I remember about Even Stevens? That I had a slight crush on Ren, his sister. And she had a big mouthful of metal, and I was into that
yeah.
as a boy with braces at the time. And his friend was wearing Andrew Reynolds' E-America skate shoes in many of those episodes.
I'm in.
I swear to God, that's why I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. He's wearing Reynolds, and I wear Reynolds.
It's a weird
and
thing.
And we're a similar age.
It's a funny, like, not fetish to be, like a prep, like liking braces. So as a young dude,
yeah,
I liked braces. As a teenager masturbating on the internet and all that, you search for braces or whatever.
Right.
I feel like when you hit a certain age, that's creepy. It's not cool anymore.
Yeah.
As a 30-year-old man, I'm 29, but I call myself a 30-year-old.
Welcome to the club.
As a 30-year-old, I feel like I still find braces sexy.
Sure.
But voicing that is like, no, don't. Keep that to yourself.
Keep it inside.
Why?
I don't know, because it has this like childish connotation, I guess. But there's you've seen adults, like clearly adult women that have braces, and it's sort of like, it's, you know, it's not like it makes them ugly. It's like, oh, that's kind of cute, or like I'm into.
I was
bad.
So into when I was a kid, and I saw Catch Me If You Can,
oh.
Amy Adams in that movie.
Right.
She's got the braces,
and she's playing like a
16-year-old.
Oof.
I had the biggest crush on her. They're both 28 in that scene. Which is crazy. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's a weird...
Something I always...
You want to use the word fetish. What's another word?
One thing that is... Same thing. Like something has a childish connotation.
Pigtails.
When you look at those late night ads or whatever, you're watching Comedy Central, now it's
We're
like 3
18.
a.m. 1-800-WE-ARE-18. What's weird about that to me is because we all know like that's the consent age. You got to be 18, right? But like to market it that way is basically catering to the pedophile community, because it's like it's saying
barely legal
porn. It's yeah,
calling it barely
and
legal.
Again, 30-year-old people on the other end of this phone, you know, talking and the phone sex or whatever. They're not 18, or at least not all of them. Like Riley Reed's in the commercial.
I want the youngest possible thing I can have that's legal.
Exactly.
That won't get me locked up and kicked in the face.
Right, and that's weird to me.
So
that you can
17 and 364 days.
The marketing approach of all of those seems a little targeted towards people that like just kids, because it's like,
right.
But like 18
is
pretty close
like
to 16.
Laying face down on the bed, like kicking their feet like a fucking schoolgirl.
It
like,
could have been 1-800 phone sex, but it's got to be We Are 18.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little weird. I don't know.
Anyway, Shia LaBeouf, cool dude.
There was just reminded me of a Mark Norman joke where he says, like, just being lucky to not be a pedophile, because you just, like, you didn't choose it.
Right.
He's just like, when I was a third grader, I thought third grade girls were attractive.
Yes.
Now I'm 30, and I don't. When I was a third grader, I liked grape juice. Now I'm older. I like red wine, but I still like grape juice. And he's just like, I was that close. I was so close, you know? Like, thank God I lucked out, and my brain knew to go the right direction.
Well, to tie this in... allegedly, Shia LaBeouf lost his virginity to an adult when he was just like 12 or so.
According to this film.
Probably has psychological consequences or collateral damage.
That's kind of what the film is, though, because I was saying, what do you know about him? He's a movie star, he's a kid actor, but also that he got in trouble. He shit talked some police officers.
Right.
Some dash cam video went viral of him telling an officer
Which
to go fuck himself.
Which they depict in the film, they depict it.
His rocker, right?
They depict that arrest as like being as stemming from him getting into a car wreck while drunk. I don't remember that being part of the story.
But it's better for the movie,
right?
Unless he
was
just
a scene where the car is flipping.
Because if he's just drunk and disorderly and causing a scene, and they arrest him for that and let him sleep it off in the fucking cell,
then the viewer is more prone to go, "All right, fucking get over it, you spoiled Hollywood brat."
Right, but so it has those like that thematic of I'm not just a crazy asshole. I'm like my. Parents, my dad was a negative influence on me. I was forced into this scene, and I was so it's like, are you
I
just
think he
making
raped
excuses?
My mom,
but I also
don't know, they weren't too direct enough.
That was my takeaway after. I was like, well, yeah, I guess that me, I look in the mirror a little bit because I remember those stories going viral and whatever, and seeing, oh, Shia LaBeouf did this now, and this maniac, he's crazy. And I would be like, wow, what a crazy asshole. Look at this crazy asshole. Totally forgetting that he's not different from me, who like I have. Things about me that go back to when I was a kid, and like, you know, there's the parental influence. And
I mean, he's a child star, so you always take into like vague consideration. Yeah, his parents probably fucked him up and stole his money. And
I guess I
did like
not with him. I never took that into consideration.
At the same time, because these people live in Hollywood, they're famous, they have a lot of money. The average person doesn't see that as enough of an excuse to act like an asshole all the time, and they go, "Fucking get over it. You're spoiled. You're entitled, or whatever."
Right.
But back to the movie, in the end, it is a movie, it's a biopic written by the person it's about. You have to take it with a grain of salt. You know, it's like fucking Chappelle 20 years ago had that bit about, what was the fucking movie?
Half-Baked?
No, there's the fucking...
Don't get mad at me, dude. I don't know.
Movie about, like, a young black dude. Fuck!
There's so many of those movies.
Antoine...
Fisher?
Fisher. Was that it?
Dude, this is your story to tell me.
Remember, it's like the story of Dave Chappelle, written by Dave Chappelle, and he's born with like a giant cock, and the doctor's like, it's right. Bigger than mine!
yeah, Chappelle Show.
Waka Waka!
Yeah.
But basically, the whole point he's making is like, how are you going to write a movie about yourself? If I wrote a movie about myself, it would just be full of lies and complimenting right. me every way it could.
There's a lot of scenes in this movie where Shia LaBeouf's character in his like, you know, middle, you know, he's not a kid. And then they have like Lucas Hedges as the him kind of when he's going to rehab and in the problematic period. So you would come to assume that he went through rehab personally. And he had some revelations and had to do some activities about, you know, getting out of his head and write down what are the things that make you angry.
It was Antoine,
and
then Antoine Fisher was the movie.
Okay, good. And I just think this movie, Honey Boy, was probably a result of like his takeaways of rehab.
Right.
And he's probably doing better now. And he did acknowledge that it wasn't all on him and that he reflected on his abusive childhood and things. And he decided to like use his film, you know, that's what he does as his outlet. Like, I'm going to make a movie.
Yeah.
And then it can't not have some tones. Because he wasn't. It wasn't like, look, I got a big dick. Look at me. It was acknowledging, like, it's showing him the Lucas Hedges version of him was being an asshole character. Like, right. You don't like him. And he wrote
that. I like Lucas Hedges, but all of his stuff of the movie where he's portraying older, fucking angry Shia was all annoying. It's like,
but I think...
Not sympathizing totally for this guy.
You're not supposed to because you see the annoying Shia LaBeouf. Angry video clips, and it's like, I don't sympathize with him. Right. This crazy asshole. So it's like he does his job.
Crazy asshole.
He did his job playing that version
right,
of
but,
him.
But the version of this, like in comparison to the Dave Chappelle sketch where you would lie, like the version on this end would be like, oh, like embellishing how bad he had it.
Right, let him off the hook.
And embellishing, right, so that people sympathize for me.
But I didn't overly let him off the hook because we're talking on acknowledging that we notice that's a little like, yeah, it's not my fault. But at the same time, I like if that was true to form, that dad character he was playing, yeah, he kind of had a shit hand as far as like
right.
dad treatment for many years.
Right.
So I don't know. I didn't like hate it. I thought it was a pretty well put together movie.
I thought as a movie, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
If you're not watching it solely as like, I know who Shia LaBeouf is. This is the true story of Shia LaBeouf.
Right.
If you're not watching it with that angle of just like, oh, this is just characters.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. It's done well. Some of it's a little like over stylized.
I like the beginning.
Three minutes without much dialogue and just like music and
yeah.
like artistic shots. That's like, all right. It's fucking.
I was glad that they didn't make like they just pretty much stuck to the like one era, I guess two, but like young when he's 12, and then when he's like early right. 20s. But I'm glad it wasn't like oh, and now he's doing.
It wasn't a timeline of his career,
right? Yeah, I didn't want to see like pat on the back. Look at all these movies I did,
which is the point of the film. It's not like the story of the life of Shia LaBeouf. The point of it is kind of. Why don't you like me? He's explaining to the public why you don't like me.
Yeah.
Why I am the way I am, which is the reason you don't like me. I mean, the guy is still unlikable, I think, with his, like, douchey...
But he's also...
He will not divide us
yeah.
stuff and, like, broadcasting himself watching a movie for 24 hours or something.
I think it was longer. I think it was, like, days.
And he's had instances... He's had things in the past, like, artistic things that he's done that were... revealed as plagiarized. So maybe an alternative to plagiarizing someone's work or making something that no one's going to accuse me of plagiarizing, write about myself.
Write what you know.
There was still stuff in it, though, that's like knows. That's been done before.
Yeah.
You know, I was saying there's that one scene of like the kid talking to his shitty dad who's like sleeping on the bed and not really acknowledging him, telling him, you need to treat me better. It's like this straight out of Magnolia. Magnolia does that scene.
Right.
You need to treat me better. Go back to bed.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be totally original, but also, like, it was well written. And when I've been watching movies lately,
I watch, like, acting. Thinking.
I think about the script. I overly think about it. It's partially because yeah. I want to, like, figure out some screenwriting to figure, like, put my ideas on a page in the future. So I'm thinking, like, on a page, when I hear some lines, you know, they don't sound like good dialogue to me, right. But they're great in the movie because they cast it well and
right.
It's emotional
and
whatever. It's
not poorly written. It's not clunky. The dude's been reading scripts since he was like fucking 8 years old, so he knows how a script works and shit. Yeah. It's written pretty decently. It's acted very well. I think the acting is probably the strongest part of the film.
It had that chick from the frickin' Spike Jones
Apple commercial.
Where it's that Anderson .Paak song. It's all like...
She kind of looks like Anderson .Paak, if I could say so myself. Was going to say during the movie, there's a couple scenes.
I wouldn't put them together.
Spoiler alert, she's the older woman who he allegedly loses his virginity to. And there's like, again, back to those like more styled and substance type of scenes where it's just like ambient music and them like fucking, there's no dialogue and it's like 4 minutes of them just like touching each other's face and stuff.
Yeah.
But they're laying in bed and in those shots it was like, kind of looks like side profile of Anderson .Paak.
Maybe it's just that I just saw her in something, but I swear to God, I was driving home from somewhere last night and there was like a mural
mm-hmm.
and like, dude, she was in it. And I was like, is she somebody like more known than that Apple commercial? Because now she's in this, you know, artsy movie
in an
acting role. Is she in like other...
She's a singer.
She has a very distinct look. Like, does she do more than... what's her name?
FKA Twigs.
So she's got her own... she's not just
singer,
an actor.
Singer-songwriter.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, she mm-hmm. killed the choreography in that four-minute commercial.
Yeah.
But I was like, why, you know... I guess now I know who she is. Like, I've seen her and like, I notice her face because...
She's also British.
Oh, bloody hell.
Piss, bugger! You know what? I was wondering what happened to our British caller guy. Where the fuck did he go?
You know, I might even have an update on that.
Bugger, bollocks.
British caller guy. His name is the English homie Chris.
Right.
British caller guy.
I got it all mixed up.
He messaged me on my... Oh, look, it's a new message from him. Look at this update. It's on my personal Facebook. You know.
That's how tight you guys are. You let him into the circle.
I let too many people in the circle.
I stopped years ago. I stopped accepting friend requests on Facebook.
He wrote in, totally trying to not be on the show, but too bad, buddy. Hey, Ak, just annoying English homie again. I'd ring into the podcast, but it actually cost me money, and now I'm a broke bitch right now.
Long distance,
international stuff, you know.
Oh man, we gotta open up like an international line so it doesn't cost him.
But he was wondering if we ever listened to that Dizzy Rascal album he suggested. Obviously, it's cool if not, but I'm still really interested in what your thoughts are. Yeah, I told him I listened to the first few songs. And he said, horror movie recommendation, Dog Soldiers. Great English horror film. Has good comedy in it, too. Wondering if you've seen it. That, I'll check out the rest of that Dizzy Rascal album.
Watch Dog Soldiers,
I'm trying to watch some Dog Soldiers. So I told him, you know, don't worry about it, and I didn't listen to that
Dog
shit.
Soldiers into Small Soldiers into When We Were Soldiers.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what's going on with him. He's
a marathon.
He's a broke bitch right now.
Okay.
That's going around lately.
Well, we got any other brain busters from the fans?
Let's see. Somebody wrote in. This was Zachary from a previous week. That just
Zachary
said,
Taylor Thomas?
This close.
Taste.
This doesn't have to be read on the podcast, but executive decision.
This doesn't have to be read on the podcast, but I hate Jews and hope
they
all...
Oh, my God. Zach. Whoa.
We are not exterminating the Jews.
Way out of line.
We already agreed.
You know what hurts the most is the lack of respect. it says, I just wanted to clarify that I didn't say you guys were better than Dreamville as a whole.
Okay.
Yet. Just that Lucky Quarter was a better song than any individual song.
All right, here you go back to being wrong.
Right. I think that's what we thought. I didn't really think, like, we're better than the label.
Look, all art is subjective, but you're wrong here, Zach.
I appreciate that. Man, I love our fans. Like, there is this level of, like, duh. Like, don't judge me too harshly when we put anything out. I think we're never going to not be our biggest judge, whether even if we get the people that are, you know, you hit a wall, step it up, mm-hmm. those shit. It's never worse than what we're telling ourselves. Excuse me. That's why it's so hard to, like, believe that, you know, when more than one fan saying, like, oh, yeah, your new song was better than anything on that album to me. And I was just like, all right, well, yeah, again, subjective.
Right.
Right? I'm not J. Cole, and if I were, he might think his verse was shitty. You know, personally, because he's a critical artist. But I don't know. We acknowledge that we're not shitty as well. But again, I agree with what you both said, assholes and opinions. A lot of people might disagree. Zach, couldn't have said it better myself. And then he called the title of it was
"The
Paraplegics."
I saw that.
Throwback. Bringing it back.
Still working on my shoe line.
Here's a question. Come on. I muted it. Son of a bitch, bastard. I got
Shut
it.
Up!
It's mostly kind of directed more towards Term, just because, like, ooh. I know his dad was in a punk band.
I'll go fuck
and,
myself.
Like, grew up listening to punk and, like, hard shit. But, Ack, you can chime in, too. If you
hard shit,
band, but
like frozen poop!
if you got anything along those lines that you still listen to that you enjoy and what that shit might be. Because, you know, I'm an avid fan of hip-hop, but I'm also a big heavy metal head. And recently I saw Every Time I Die and Glassjaw perform, but Ghostface Killah opened up for them.
I don't know who those
very, very interesting
other acts are.
Thing to see.
I assume they're hardcore.
You know, it was like raps and then like also hardcore mosh pit punch you in the face shit.
Right.
So anyway,
kind of,
if you have an opinion on that, I'd love to hear it.
Those worlds have recently, over the past few years, like somehow collided. And
now this is what it's like when worlds collide.
Are you ready to go? You ready? I don't know.
Hey, hey.
Anyway, those worlds have like kind of recently collided.
Oh, you don't say.
What it's like when worlds collide. Just keep going in circles. No, but like we talked a few months ago about how we went to South by Southwest. We went to this Thrasher event thing that was going on.
Oh, right.
And they had a stage there that Del the Funky Homo Sapien headlined that day. But right before Del was City Morgue, who is basically what I'm just talking about, the combination of this. They're rappers, but the music is hardcore.
Very thrashy.
Every rap, every line is delivered like, wah, 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 and they flip off the stage into the crowd, and everyone's moshing and punching each other and stuff. It's a gay old time.
Yeah.
I don't know how and when those two worlds came together. Mosh pits. Like, when I was growing up, were strictly, like, a metal thing.
Yeah.
And now they're at, like, rap shows and all types of shows, and you got fucking female pop singers who are like, yeah, open the mosh pit!
Open the pit! Wall of death!
Little offensive, I think, letting all these people appropriate the culture of heavy metal and mosh pits and all that.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Yeah, but that would be a very unhardcore thing to do, would be like, you're appropriating my genre.
Right.
That's why you don't hear that from fucking hardcore artists.
And they embrace it.
Right, like, let any artist of any color take this and put it in their rap music even. Like, maybe people are saying what they're saying, you know, at the bar over a Budweiser, off mic.
So...
But they probably don't give a fuck, and they're not going to whine about it, like, on the internet.
But yeah, I guess he was asking me what shit I still listen to.
Yeah, any punk range realm.
I was always like I liked like some hardcore shit, but I always like my favorite shit always kind of was on the like in the margins, the type of music that at the time there wasn't any other real genre to put them in, so they just called it punk. Bands like the Buzzcocks and the Stranglers. They're not exactly...
Yeah, they're not thrashing your ears.
Punk rock. The Buzzcocks wrote a bunch of love songs and shit. The Stranglers were all sorts of music, but they were lumped in with the punk scene. I still listen to those bands a lot. The Misfits were always like my number one shit. And yeah, every month or so, I'll pull up like Static Age or some shit or... Saturday Night, Famous Monsters by the Misfits.
You listen to Anthrax?
It's my fucking jam. Right. Also,
like, I know Term music too a lot of times because he's like, you know, the chauffeur to my non-car having ass when we drive on tour and stuff. So
I got the aux.
Yeah, you're throwing on a lot of shit like that. And is that with the band with the like, it's all fun and games till someone gets hurt?
That's Faith No More.
And Faith No More was the other one I was trying to find.
A lot of Faith No More.
Yes.
But
yeah, that's not, it's like margins, you know?
Right. I grew up probably more metal, raised than punk rock, even though my dad was like in punk shit. My dad started playing bass, because of Geezer Butler from Black Sabbath, and Black Sabbath was like one of the first bands I was introduced to. First concert I ever saw when I was 8 years old was Black Sabbath's reunion tour with Pantera opening.
Yeah.
Back in the Dimebag days,
yeah,
baby.
I think we talked about this a long time ago, but my first concert was Third Eye Blind and Smash Mouth at the B96 Bash when
hey
I was
now.
10 years old. So yours was way cooler than mine.
Way cool.
Yeah, we were just, we popped out for a song with Tropodelic because they were playing the House of Blues Chicago.
Right.
And you were telling them stories of, because
I've been here.
We've never played there, but you have a history there as a kid.
Right, the Palmer Squares have never played at the House of Blues Chicago, but Term, I have been on that stage multiple times.
At age.
And even performed once, all when I was like 10 years old and less.
Yeah.
Because I would go to these, I would go to Misfits shows. Anthrax, I've seen at House of Blues a number
of
times.
Like backstage access.
Right. I don't know if I ever went into it much, but when I was a kid, the Misfits were my favorite band, and I saw them a bunch of times. And every time I saw the Misfits, I met them and hung out like with the band. Always because I was a little kid, and that was such a cool thing at that time. Or I don't. It probably still is.
I remember, you know, Jerry Only from the Misfits came to your house at least once for dinner, and you got to like
invite one
friend, and it wasn't me. And we weren't as close then as we were now. You had
better
friends that were your age in sixth grade and stuff.
Right,
and I was like, come on, choose me.
he didn't come for dinner. So like the third time I saw them, I got pulled up on stage by Jerry, who at that point like kind of recognized me. And then he pulled me up during the song Dig Up Her Bones, and I fucking like sang it into his mic with him for like half the song. And then I hung out on the side of the stage. This was the year that Joey Ramone had died, and the Misfits were touring with Marky Ramone as their drummer. So they closed the show with Blitzkrieg Bop, which is the Ramones' big song, let's go. And once that started, I was like, no way. And I fucking like ran out from behind the stage like to Jerry's position to like shout it into the mic with him.
Don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness.
Just
take off.
But at that show, Jerry Only gave me his work phone number in Lodi, New Jersey. A little weird.
Not as weird as his personal.
All of this also was very much due to I would tell all of them about how my dad was in the Effigies. And at the time, Dez Kadena from Black Flag was their guitar player. The Effigies and Black Flag played a lot of shows together. And my dad knew Dez.
Yeah.
So Dez knew who I was talking about. It wasn't all just like, hey, a little kid, let's bring him
Here's
on with us.
My phone number, little boy.
Like, I always like talked myself up and like told him who my dad was and gave him my credentials or whatever.
Right.
But
your dude pass.
And he didn't give me his fucking home number. He gave me his work phone number and said like, which blew my mind at the time and is still cool to me with how huge the Misfits are. Everyone knows who the Misfits are. Everyone has seen the Crimson Ghost logo. But to think at this time where they were like selling out venues like the House of Blues and shit, like dude still had a regular 9-to-5 day job when they're not touring. I guess it was like some knife company, like Show Knives or something, that his dad started the company or whatever.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
But I would call this, I would like get a secretary and I would ask to speak to Jerry or whatever. And then I spoke to him and he said, he was coming to Chicago and that he'll come by. And like, he took like an order because the Misfits were, they're like, Kiss with selling merchandise. There's like fucking Misfits everything.
They got dolls of them with the guitar, action figures.
Pencils, tampons, tennis balls, you name it. So we like took down like an order and he brought me and all my friends like Misfit belt buckles. At the time they were selling those.
Not all your friends, but go on.
the friends that were invited. At the time, they had these like Misfits action figures, which were like $50.
Yeah.
And he just gave like six pairs of them to me to give to my friends. And he autographed mine like to Seth and shit. Super cool. I don't know why I brought it up.
The guy asked about the punk stuff.
Right.
And
I was
we
also
were at the House of Blues recently telling those stories.
Saw Anthrax there a number of times. When I was like same age, John Bush from Anthrax pulled me up on stage. I remember he put the mic to my mouth during a song, and I went, I don't know the words! And they just lowered me
Do
back
Do you know
down.
The words to that song now?
I don't know what fucking song
remember?
It was, even.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still probably keep in touch more with my metal roots than my punk roots. I still will put on Sabbath and Faith No More, Anthrax, Motorhead.
Yeah, as far as, here's me chiming in. Ecumenal Palmer Square's punk influences.
Him.
I pretty much just like Misfits and Ramones are still kind of timeless to me.
Yes.
And I won't listen to them a lot, but then when I hear them, I want to listen to like, oh, I forgot like the Ramones had awesome music, and then I'll listen to some.
The Ramones,
and then I'll fall out of it. But it's like I don't go very deep.
It's like when people shit on the Beatles because they're like Quincy Jones had that interview a year ago where he's like, those guys couldn't play for shit, and people like think it's hip and contrarian to be like, Beatles weren't even good at their
I think they're amazing, but I never had a phase like
Ringo
everyone
Starr
else.
Ringo Starr was so basic. Like, first of all, he was a fucking human metronome. The man's a legend.
Yeah.
But the Ramones are
I
ones
was a
that,
drummer,
like,
and he was not an influence to me.
Ramones,
the guy from Korn was more influential than Ringo Starr.
Right, and you could say 10 times worse shit about the Ramones, but it's not as hip to. But the Ramones were not like fucking amazingly talented musicians. But they were great fucking songwriters. And to write songs that were like basic, not, you know, people, fucking music snobs have this misconception that like, if there aren't 100 different notes played in the song, then it's not technical enough and it's not good. It's like, it could be fucking
four
notes.
It's catchy as fuck. And you see that now with some stuff where it's just like barely a beat and it's just
like
atmospheric.
Almost all rap music and pop music is.
Sheena is a punk rocker. Sheena is a punk rocker. It's an awesome song. There's not much to it.
Right.
Sheena's a punk rocker. I don't know if you heard.
When I was a kid, my grandpa took me to Barnes & Noble, and they had a Ramones box set. It was $30, and I was begging him to buy it for me, and he wouldn't.
Yeah.
And we like went back to the car, and I like cried my eyes out. I was like 10. I guilted him to the point where he went back in and he bought it for me.
There were times when I had to go buy a birthday gift.
I've apologized to him like in recent past for doing that.
There were times when I had to like have my mom buy a birthday gift for a friend of mine because I got invited to their birthday party. And then the thing that we would get them would be something that I would also, not even if I like wanted it, but like once we were getting it, because I know my friend wanted that, I'd be like, I want, this is cool. Like, it's, and I would like, this is the most privileged shit. You know, this is where just getting by, like my mom fucking working hard, working more than one job, paying the bills, not needing to do this. And then it would like, I wouldn't get it. Maybe one time she'd be like, all right, here's one. Cause I fucking cried my eyes out. But it would always be like, when can I get one? It's just like, don't be an asshole. Like, this isn't for you.
It's not about you.
And this costs money that I don't have. And like you think about, but to me it's just like, why does he get one and not me when I'm his age too?
Because it's
like,
his birthday,
you're a dumb,
asshole.
Privileged little kid. Yeah, grow up, 10-year-old loser.
For Christmas, I got my mom and my stepdad a Roku.
Yeah.
And I've definitely used it more.
That was like me getting my girlfriend the air fryer. I was like, oh, totally all yours, babe.
Yeah.
Now let's make some salmon for dinner
Merry
tonight.
Christmas.
Both
you want
us.
Me to show you right now how it works? Ins and outs?
Oh yeah, also shout out to Tropodelic for having us pop. That was a lot of fun and a last minute day of invite, you know, of like, we're in Chicago tonight. Pop
up
for the song.
I got the Instagram DM in the morning while I was making coffee and shit.
Yeah.
And haven't had my coffee yet, so I'm still groggy. And at first glance figure, oh, it's from 9:30 last night and we missed the opportunity.
Right.
And then I see the AM like, ooh,
no way.
What are you doing tonight?
So that was cool. We
not
got to
shit.
Just hang out and gallivant with those fellas and pop up. Well, it was actually a Bad Fish crowd. I was going to say in front of their crowd. But,
right.
Yeah, them, Little Stranger. Fun ass night. We did our song Pressure. I mean, take any opportunity to just get on stage in front of like 1,000 or more people.
Right.
For why not? That was fun as fuck. And that damned line. It's only 8 bars each. It's kind of a breeze, right? We're just there. Don't have to worry about doing our 45-hour set, you know, like it's just.
Is it 8 or is it 4?
I think it's 8 each. It's just kind of it's an up-tempo song, so it's quick.
I think it's 4.
I think it's 8.
I think it's 8 total.
Depends on how you're either way, one right, of us is right, but right. It's how you're counting the
We're
beats.
Both right.
But the goddamned
it's your last line, right?
Yeah, I say fucking...
Tooth and nail.
Tooth and nail. My crew prevail, too foolproof to fail.
Too foolproof to fail.
I always say tool foolproof to fail. I think I even said tool...
Fool tool proof.
I think I said tool foolproof to pail on the mic at the show, because I'm like, this is one of the worst tongue twitches I've ever written myself into.
No one hears it.
My crew prevail, too foolproof to fail. I had to like run that one more than the average line to get my tongue to like understand...
You could have just gone
poo poo
jukadoo, and the crowd would have reacted the same.
Oh my god! This guy spits fire.
Get a record deal and just like leave you in the dust.
Louis sucks.
But yeah, a lot of fun. And that, god damn. I guess that's what we do for a living. And it's rare that a line that I wrote will tie me up as the guy who wrote it. You know, I'll figure it out. I'm not gonna spit it if it's too fast. Fucking, I thought I had it. I thought it was a cool.
I like your computer's showing you the definition of ha ha.
Mike's screensaver's
laughing at me. It's
not what
I thought. It's a ditch with a wall on its inner side below ground level, forming a boundary to a park or garden without interrupting the view.
The show with Whoopi Goldberg?
That's what a ha ha is? No way!
All
right, we got any more of these? We got one more fan question to ride out on? Look at this. Hour on the dot.
Yo, I've got a question.
Yeah.
How old is Prob Cause?
I keep trying
to look him up on Wikipedia, and I just can't figure it out. I'm wondering, you know, what's he got to hide?
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, what are you hiding, bro?
Yeah.
I mean, at first I was like, what kind of question is this? But then when he puts it that way, I don't know, dude. Something's going on.
What kind of perks do you get as a grown man to pretend to be younger?
And what kind of perks does
he
get
to pretend to be older and get a senior citizens discount or something?
Right. Like, I guess you're going to have to ask Prob, because I don't even... I believe he's a year or two older than me.
Prob's got socials. You could just hit him up and say...
send him a DM-er.
How old are you?
He's my age. Maybe a year older. He's an early 30s feller.
Right.
I thought... Yeah. I don't know. But still, might be hiding something. A little shady. His name is Prob Cause, so he's up to something.
True.
You know, he's got an alibi.
Disappears to Thailand for weeks at a time. I don't know. You know, there's only one reason to go to Thailand.
Smells fishy.
Hear tell.
I smell fish. Smells like fish in here.
Are you wearing a wire?
I think this is not a question, but it was, it looks like a very nice thing to play on the end of our show today.
What's up, guys? I love this podcast, and I'm calling to let you know after a super shitty fucking day, I get to listen to this podcast, and I love you guys. Don't give a fuck. You don't care.
No fucks given, bro.
In a world full of a bunch of fucking gaping vaginas walking around, you're the most
unoffended
motherfuckers ever, and I really genuinely
language queefing all over the place.
Love the podcast. Thanks for making me feel like a normal fucking person on the regular every Wednesday. Later.
Thank you for listening.
I love a good ball lapping.
Yeah, thank you. And we are good, great. No, great.
No, right. In a world full of gaping vaginas,
yeah,
we are big, veiny cocks.
So fuck the world.
Leaving a slug trail everywhere we go, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I didn't give a fuck about anything. You know, I'm glad that you enjoy the show, but you're like, you guys don't give a fuck about anything. No, I care dramatically too much about many things and what people think of me and
what I sound like,
my own voice.
If I had to pinpoint one thing wrong with this phone call.
But, you know, we're splitting hairs here, you know? We did our job. We're making days. We're turning shitty days better. On the TPS Reports podcast.
Speaking of splitting hairs, this podcast has been brought to you by Manscaped.com.
The podcast isn't sponsored this week, but the promo code's still in use, I believe.
Why is it only 1 week long?
I don't think it is 1 week long.
I think they're eternal sponsors now.
They're going to have to work
a little harder to get rid of us.
Palmer20 on your Manscaped.com order to get 20% off.
See if it works. And if it doesn't, go buy a Norelco or something.
I would be shocked if Manscaped came back to us and said, that and more than one or two people bought one, right? Like,
all right. Well, now it's on the rest of you listening to prove this bitch ass motherfucker.
Hey, lady,
off.
Who loves the show? Trim your bush. It says Manscaped, but I mean, it's all inclusive. It's 2020.
When it says your balls will thank you, it means fallopian tubes.
Is that where the hair grows? Is on the tube?
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. Well, let's get the frick out of here, shall we?
Send us some fan mail. Send us a package. You know what?
The perfect package.
I could really use another fingerboard at this point.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude. I'm riding. I fucking lost a wheel because one of these fucking nuts won't stay on. I had to super glue one of them on. I lost a wheel, so now I'm riding three white wheels with one blue wheel.
I got spare parts. I ride.
My bushings have gone to shit. If you got a fingerboard, you want to send it in to the homies. It's Palmer Squares at P.O. Box 25627, Chicago, Illinois, 60625.
Also, still accepting some input. I mean, we haven't got much yet, so we're going to promote it every week until we get more. Stump the squares.
Stump my motherfucking ass!
Pick a line, any line. Like, don't think that we know it well because we wrote it. If you're listening to a song, even from our last album, pick a word, a line, just something maybe you weren't familiar with or you think you'll be able to stump us on.
Maybe you need some clarification.
Just ask. It doesn't hurt to ask.
But specifically, make us look like fools.
708-797-3079. Save it in your phone and call in anytime, especially if you're trying to stump us with a rap lyric. tpsreportspodcast@gmail.com as well. Spookylanguage.com is where you can get our merchandise and our tour dates and other stuff. There are not many tour dates at the moment. We do have... Is this week? I'm trying to do the math of...
It's still upcoming.
I'm still promoting the Baltimore show, right?
It's still upcoming.
Got it. Nailed it. February 28th in Baltimore at Frozen Harbor Fest. We are performing at...
Angels Rock Bar.
Is it? I think it might be a different place this time.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, but you'll figure it out. Just go to our website and get the tickets.
PBR next door?
No, I thought it was like the place where we normally get dinner, like kind of down the stairs or...
Tin thing?
Something like that.
Tin roof?
I don't know. God damn it, I'm getting...
Cat on a hot one.
Congested.
What the fuck's wrong with you, bro?
I don't know. My face is like
I got this weird thing that I get sometimes, and I have
it
right now.
Very tingly inside my nose.
I'll go like weeks at a time where I have this like... It's like a smell like in the back of my sinuses or
something.
What's
it smell like?
I don't really know. It's not like like a certain smell that I'm already familiar with that I could reference, but it's not good. It's kind of like rot. Like mold.
I have a sinus infection.
Like rotting snot. Ooh. When I was a kid, I saw an episode of Maury where when we were kids and we would stay home sick, we didn't have many options. We didn't have smartphones and the internet still really hadn't taken off a whole lot. And if, you know, when we were kids, the internet was like instant messenger and stuff.
Yeah.
And when you stay home sick, everyone's at fucking school. So you're not going to sit and talk to anyone on instant messenger. I had Maury and reruns of Saturday Night Live on Comedy Central. That's what I would... And I would eat fucking Campbell's chicken soup and jerk off and watch those two things.
That's the two best medicines.
That was my staying home shit. But I would watch Maury when I was a kid. Some of those things would freak me out. I remember there was a guy who had what I fear, my biggest fear when I have this little thing, but it goes
His
away.
His hands were made of wood. Remember that guy?
Chubbs?
No, he had like... there was a guy with like wood chip skin.
Oh, Day-Day the Tree Man.
Oh, I don't know him personally, dude. We're not homies.
It goes away for me, but it'll last for like weeks at a time, and it'll go away. So, but when I get it, it freaks me out because it reminds me of this dude on Maury.
Get to it. What is it?
Who had like a fungus growing in his sinuses.
Yeah.
And they removed his face to get out the fungus. They took out his nose and his eyes. And it's like... His face is just like they scooped out his nose and eyes. It's just a big, giant hole. He's got a mouth still.
Yeah, that's frightening because I wake up every morning like, you know, blow my nose and get all that allergen. It's just like, even on a good day, it's like I got, there's something going on. Mm-hmm. And I always have allergies in the springtime and stuff and they're terrible, but I don't know what's going on now.
And then they got like a plastic mask for him, they said a new face, but it was really just like a plastic window to cover the giant hole in his head.
Yeah,
I don't know. I still think about that guy. I don't want to be him.
The other show on the books is Junkyard Samurai opening up for Greaves on the 21st of March.
Hello.
If you're going to the Greaves show, you'll see us there, and if you want to see us, we'll be there. Also have the album coming out in a few short weeks, everybody. I'm hoping, because like we said earlier, this is a pre-record to get ahead of a schedule where we can't be together for a podcast. So I don't know, but if it is true check the description of this podcast and pre-order or pre-save the album. I'm hoping to get that all set up so that we can have a couple of weeks of pre-order. We had a lot of fans ask, when can I pre-order your new album? And I don't know exactly, but maybe today. And if not, it should be very soon. So keep an eye out, obviously, our social media.
If not, snip this part out.
Yeah. But this will be, like, we want the pre-orders or, like, pre-saving singles and stuff. It makes you a follower of our Spotify page. We get your email so you can get a newsletter to, you know, this is how we want to make sure you see our releases.
It's a brave new world that's run by algorithms.
Yeah.
So if you support us, you got to do it via an algorithm somehow.
I mean, and if you're like me, you can just wait, too. It's whatever. But people also were asking, and if you want to pre-order it, that will be, obviously, this is our album this year, and we hope it doesn't suck, and that you guys like it, and that it helps us stay alive furthermore. So there's the confidence I have in my art. new fucking album. It's going to be amazing. Pre-order now.
Aren't we supposed to be like, yo, this is the best motherfucking album you ever heard?
07.
2020's my year, motherfucker.
No.
Hey, I have some new work that I hope you guys like, and if you just please save it.
Just... new album next month, with or without it. Pre-order now, and if it's not in the description, it'll be up soon.
We appreciate it. Edit like the last song of the album and add at the very end.
Crying.
Jeb Bush going, please clap.
Please clap. Damn, we missed an opportunity. But that would be us. 2 years late, or 4 years late, whenever that was. This week, speaking of cutting somebody's face off, let's end with G-Mo Ski's new song, Return of the Filth. I watched this video, and he literally cuts a dude's face off in a movie theater bathroom.
Hell
so
yeah.
If you're not intrigued enough to go check it out, this is what the song sounds like.
Literally removes a man's face with a machete blade.
Really awesome video, too. And I don't know. We did a song with G-Mo years ago. Mm-hmm. I'd love to do another one sometime.
Me too.
Because when I see him put out releases, I catch wind of that on his fucking Instagram and stuff. I watch his new video, and the song is awesome. But also... the video is great, and he's like, he's Jason, and he's going around like terrorizing a couple. And
he comes out of the lake holding a GameCube.
Yeah, like he's a
he's
big gamer.
Really sticks to that video game niche demographic thing.
But it was
respect it.
Yeah, well done. So join the Smoochie Gang playlist on Spotify for that and much more. And that said, we'll see you next week on the TPS Reports podcast. Smooches.
When I take this energy and put it inside a rhyme that I write, I don't think you want to be on the other side of the mic, unless you really want to see what dying is like, or surviving a bite from a shark trying to fight for your life. G-Mo was slept on for dummy long. Now wake your bitch ass up, Lucky Charms. Clap arms with a rusty saw, screaming all day, Dewey Dimbalaw. I'm a Chucky doll, nigga, no games. I throw shade from close range. If you open my rap book, you better burn sage. Get possessed if you let a verse play. All these niggas try, I'ma sweep them off the street like it's Earth Day. Blackest night, teeth glow in the dark. Drink Mickey's till I piss green soda and barf. It's no wonder why my album was all over the charts, cause everybody got a little G-Mo in their heart. You bitch, the filthiest nigga in the rap game. 10 years living life in the fast lane. And I'm finna get your girlfriend back pains if gang ride tonight. The filthiest nigga in the rap game. 10 years living life in the fast lane. And I'm finna get your girlfriend back pains if gang ride tonight. Take Friday the 13th, mix it with South Park. Give me a beat that's boom bap and sound hard. Cutting on stage because my flow and my style sharp. The fans come in droves like they rolling in clown cars. Lock the honey badger in the booth with the door shut. I'ma chew cords up and poop on the floor, bruh. You niggas stupid, you must be using a short bus. I pull your shit back like I'm removing a corn husk. And I know a lot of niggas out there cock blocking, but I'm so hot it's kinda hard for you to stop watching. I'm rocking the sickest leather, two holes stitched together. Charlotte and Heather, human cloth, I'm trying to get investors. Would I ever rap with you bitch niggas? Never. If you ever step into my office, I'ma hit the lever. Niggas, stay out of the Richmond sector or get snatched off your bike like Pee-wee's Big Adventure. The filthiest nigga in the rap game. 10 years living life in the fast lane. And I'm finna get your girlfriend back pains if gang ride tonight. The filthiest nigga in the rap game. 10 years living life in the fast lane. And I'm finna get your girlfriend back pains if gang ride tonight.